Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Braddon. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. No Shane as of yet. No idea where he is. He may stop talking to us now that he hit a hole in one. I really wanted to get that story, so hopefully he shows up. But we got a lot of cousins in here. I don't want to keep you guys waiting, so maybe hit me up with some questions while we wait for Shane. While you do that, let you know, as always, brought to you by MyBookie, the online sportsbook. Go check them out. MyBookie.ag is the website. Promo code SEC. If you put in an initial deposit today over at MyBookie and you use that promo code SEC, they'll give you $500 of a guarantee wager. What's that mean? Let's say you bet $500 on Auburn and they win. Buddy, you get to keep that money. You can cash out and never see you again. But if Oklahoma wins, you get that $500 right back, and you get to keep on playing with my bookie. So is Shane on the hot seat? Hell yeah, he is. This is the last time he ever shows up late. That crazy son of a... Oh, Shane, I was just talking about what a great guy you were. How you doing, buddy?
You know I can hear you in the bullpen.
I told him you hit a hole in one. You're never speaking to us again.
Yeah, sorry. I've had interviews all day long, and I apologize for that. But what a day. I'll tell you, Mike, I wish I could take you all out there and just let you experience how awesome that was.
Yeah, were you out there with Hugh Freeze?
No. But I am going to tell you what happened, Mike. So there I was on a par 3, 111. The wind was whipping through there. It was absolutely chaotic. Actually, it was pretty good conditions. Buddy of mine, he hits. It goes left to the green. I hit, and bam, right next to the pin. Now, where I'm sitting, all I see is a golf ball and the pin, right? So I don't know. I mean, that could be 2 inches. That could be 10 feet. I don't know. I can't tell from the angle, but it sits there. My next buddy, he goes, he hits it over the green. Terrible golfer. So then we go, it's been sitting there for this entire time. We go down there, we drop the clubs into the bag and everything, and we get in the golf cart, and we're starting to head that way. I'm about 50 yards away from it, and I'm looking, I'm like, damn, that ball is so close. Falls in. So it's not like it was like immediate hole in one. It was one of those, like, it sat there for like 2 minutes. And I feel like the big guy upstairs was watching. He says, you know what you need? A little wind. Knocked that thing in there. Got my hole in one. What an awesome day. What an awesome day.
Hey, shout out Tennessee legend. Any great story starts with, so there I was.
So there I was. I had told him, I said, this story's going to get, it's like them fishing trips, you know, this fish is going to get bigger and bigger as we go. So it was snowing early that morning.
The golf course was angry that day, my friend.
Yeah. All right.
So, hey, Tennessee loses, you hit a hole in one. All in all, I think that's, you're back to even. You know what?
Yeah, I mean, we're even. We're flush, right? I still thought about the kick today. In fact, I posted about it on Twitter, but I was like, you know what? Let's move on. It's not the 90s. We can still get into this thing. You know, back in the day, you lose a game like this, you're just out, you know, especially against Georgia. Tennessee wouldn't have made an SEC championship. No way they would have gotten the BCS. But now we've got plenty of spots to get in there.
All right, so tell us, Shane. You didn't tell us the finale. Did you celebrate...
Hell yeah.
With some Tennessee legend after hitting a hole in one or what?
They don't call it birdie juice for nothing, Mike. And then I proceeded to have a triple bogey. So, you know, after we got done with that one, I was like, same guy. Tennessee legend. I've got a photo. I apologize. It was an absolute crazy day, but I want to give Cuz a shout out. We're going to have him tomorrow. Tomorrow on, actually, let's do it on Thursday. On Thursday's show, when we're doing our picks, we're going to highlight some Tennessee legends that have been able to make it to the Tennessee Legend Distillery, or some that have ordered it. And if you have and it's on your shelf, be sure to take a picture of it, send it to thatsecpodcast@gmail.com or DM us, and we'll be sure to include that on the show. So thank you, cousins. You guys are really keeping the lights on for us.
Well, and another one that is.
Oh, he's so happy.
Look, legend, at JR. Cousin JR has done it again.
Shout out, JR. He gifted a membership to Akobe. I'm sure I butchered that. Akobe, welcome to
the family.
Yeah. And another cousin, Shane, that's fired up.
Yeah.
His team's back on the winning streak. And maybe old Mike wasn't so wrong about the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Oh, he's showing up for them boys in Hell Tuscaloosa. Yeah. It's Stephen Up. Roll Tide.
Appreciate you, Stephen. He just gifted Tarl Killingsworth. Tarl,
welcome to the family.
Michael Dunlap just gave us a donation too, Shane.
Thanks, cuz.
Shout out, Dunlap. If we get blown out by Mizzou, DeShula, make it to the bye week.
Oh, man. Man.
We're already fired. Heads are always rolling down there. You know what?
Yeah. But weren't we doing this with South Carolina's coordinator last year?
Well, here's the deal, Shane. I'm sure you didn't see this.
Yeah.
Because you're too busy golfing and not showing up on time. But I put the headline, the title for this show, Hot Seat Weekend has arrived in the SEC. So we're going to preview all these games. And you might be saying, well, what the hell, hot seat? Well, don't forget, Shane, because I haven't forgotten. I know Oklahoma's looking good. I know Auburn's looking good. I don't even think this is a bold statement, Shane. Losing coach of this game, I've said it before, I've said it a million times this offseason, loser's getting fired.
Ooh, snap.
Because I think Auburn could go, I mean, it could really start to snowball on them. Hell, Oklahoma, they've moved beyond we can make the playoff. They've moved on to we can win the national championship. You lose to Auburn.
Yeah.
Buddy, you ain't going to no playoff, I don't think. But, again, you could turn it around, but I don't know. So, again, this is not like the ultimate hot seat one, but Florida, Miami. Will Billy be there on Tuesday? I don't know. How about our guy Sam Pittman? If he loses to Memphis,
oh gosh,
you know, get him out of here. And then here we got coordinators wanting to be fired in Columbia, South Carolina. So this is the hot seat bowl, and the only one where it might not be, Shane.
Yeah.
Is old Tulane and Ole Miss. Because if Tulane wins, we're just going to hire his ass, John Summerall, to come to the SEC immediately. You know, it may get him a job. And even losing by a slim margin may get John Summerall even more attention in the SEC. So aside from that one, this is like damn hot seat weekend, in my opinion.
That Summerall game, it's like he's already signed an SEC contract, but this is like a sign-on bonus. You know, it's like how much more? What else are they going to throw in? You get a win against Lane Kiffin, you better damn believe they're going to be throwing some money his way.
Oh, and hey, I forgot one. I mean, Sark, is he on the hot seat if he loses to Sam Houston?
Well, yeah, I would think so. I mean, even the maybe Josh Heupel's, I've seen him on a few message boards, so you can't lose to that one. But no, all seriousness, Mike, I do think that this is a very high-pressured weekend, you know, and something that you're going to be talking about, not just head coaches, but coordinators, players, individuals. There's so many interesting storylines coming into this Saturday that I think, you get the win, I feel like you're on cloud nine. You get the loss, then you may bury your head in the sand until next Saturday.
You know who's not burying his head in the sand, Shane?
Austin Wayne.
Austin, he's fired up them balls, Shane.
Hell yeah.
He's gifted a membership to I Am Peru. I Am Peru,
welcome to the family.
I'm mixing up on you there, Shane. Sorry. And then we got, oh, goodness, Junior gifted a membership.
Oh, right, Junior. That's
your son you don't acknowledge. Junior, welcome. He gifted Keg 2071. That's a keg we're going to be having here in a couple decades. Keg, welcome
to the family.
We appreciate you. And B-Dad.
B-Dad, come on now.
I wonder if that's my long-lost dad.
B-Dad, Junior, I mean, golly, are you trying to tell me something?
he gifted Alex Mitchell. Alex,
welcome to the family.
And then Tolkien became a member.
Hell yeah, Tolkien. what do you think Tolkien's a fan of?
Family.
Tolkien?
Mm. Isn't that a group? I think that's like a hard rock group, isn't it?
The only Tolkien I know is J.R.R. Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, no, I think it's a rock group, but
okay,
yeah, maybe it's the least thing. I think they got a big concert this weekend, so Appreciate you spending a little time with us. I know you're busy, Tolkien.
All right, Shane. So let's get into it. I think it's the game of the week here. Game of the dang week. We got not game day, but we got the SEC version. Headed to Norman, Oklahoma, Shane. Playing like a champion. Football's our favorite in Oklahoma, but man, the Jackson Arnold Bowl, so much on the line for both of these teams, Shane. I don't think either one could be messing around, and this is not like, you know, some ginormous spread here or anything. We're talking Oklahoma, of course, favored as, you know, they're seemingly an elite team here, but they're 6.5 points favorite. Auburn's undefeated too, brother. So
yeah.
I ain't writing them off. The motivation. I know John Matera, you know, he's going to, I'm not saying he's not motivated, but I can't imagine there's going to be someone more motivated than this Jackson Arnold and his coach Hugh Freeze to add him to the list to kind of prove the doubters like me wrong. What's your thoughts going into this potentially heavyweight showdown here?
It's a lot of pressure. Like you said, I feel like these are two coaches that are avoiding hot seat talk, right? I mean, even though we're talking about how big this game is, but it is one that just launches you to the front if you drop it, especially Oklahoma. I thought it was an interesting question you asked Steven yesterday. It was like, which one do you think it would a loss would be worse for? And I was right there with you. I felt like Oklahoma at home, you know, you lost, not lost, but your quarterback's no longer. And if he comes back into town and does something he didn't do a lot of last year, and that's get a victory, I feel like that cranks up the seed a little bit. So there's just so much. And the way these teams look, the defenses are playing tremendous right now. I feel like they're doing great. I feel like Oklahoma offense is just as electric as Auburn is at times, you know. So there is just a lot coming into this one. They just match up so well. It's going to be an awesome freaking football game. Damn, I wish we were there.
Hey, a lot of comments on your haircut. How much did it cost you to get a haircut?
Yeah, I lost 3 pounds, you know. Just I don't miss that at all, man. I mean, there for a minute, getting it fixed, because I had to get it fixed, and of course, shit didn't look anything like Kirby's, but it was like a flashback to when I had that. Remember that L.A. Cool, that green gel, you'd put it up in your hair, and back in the day in the 90s, that's what we did. So it kind of took me back. I'm glad I don't have to mess with that anymore.
Yeah.
I'm still late, but.
You got me all sidetracked here. All right, well, let me look at it this way, Shane. Yes, pressure's on, but isn't it nice that here we got game four for Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And we've already got arguably, well, I don't even think it's arguably, the Michigan game and now the Auburn game. They were the best games of the week in the conference, you know, like the highest stakes games.
Yeah.
This is what we thought we were getting with old Oklahoma. Not, you know, a 500 squad that can't survive in this conference. We wanted this elite program, and they ain't elite yet. We're not crowning you for beating Illinois State and Temple, but they sure did look like $1 million against Michigan. They may have to do even better to beat Auburn. And same deal with Auburn, Shane. Auburn's won a national championship last I checked, Shane.
Yeah.
More recently than even Oklahoma. And they are a team and a fan base that expects to compete for SEC, college football playoff, and even the damn national championship. And it looks like they have taken huge strides to get there. I just think it's you know, it's like a brand game, you know, where we got like two of the best brands in all of college football, two programs on a rise. And I won't say either one's arrived with a win.
Yeah.
But I think it's fair to start booking your playoff hotel if you win it. You know what I mean? You can always get that refund, but you can start looking ahead to where this thing goes if you win this game on Saturday for either fan base.
If it feels like one of these teams is lying to us, you know, like, oh, hey, we're back, baby. We're back. We're all the way back. And it's like classic Scooby-Doo, and you rip the mask off. You're like, I knew you were just a 500 team. You know, it just kind of feels like that because both of these, you know, seem if you're looking at it from start to finish, start of the season to this point right here, they are on an upward trajectory. But it feels like like, man, what if this? What if Michigan's not that good? You know, what if Auburn just hasn't been tested? You know, you see some close games with Baylor and you're just like, ah, maybe, you know, what if Jackson just falls apart? You know, what if John Mateer actually gets some serious pressure in his face? What does he do? Does he crack? You know, there's all these kind of storylines that are coming into this thing, but I'm not considering a separation. I just feel like one of these teams is going to get exposed Saturday, and we're going to be sitting there saying, see, I told you the whole time, Mike. I told you. It just feels like that, man.
Right. And I don't know how much you put into statistics early in the season,
uh-huh,
which I think it's fair to question some of this, but also, hey, we got a show to do, and I'm just presenting the information, right? But the fact that Oklahoma has got, according to the efficiency rankings, number one pass defense in the country, and Jackson Arnold and Auburn have struggled to throw the football, you know, that's a major, major advantage Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
According to the pass defense efficiency, Auburn is 117 in the country. And last I checked, Shane, Oklahoma's got arguably the Heisman Trophy front runner at their quarterback, John Mateer. So, again, major advantage Oklahoma. Now, that doesn't really mean anything on Saturday. Still got to come out there and perform. But my question to you, Shane, is do you believe with Jackson Arnold and these receivers, we know these receivers, at least on paper,
mm-hmm,
are some of the best in the country, can Auburn win this game throwing the football? Because I would imagine that's what Brent Venables and the Sooners defense is going to force them to do. They're going to make Jackson Arnold beat him with his arm if – and that would be my game plan. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah, and honestly, if you seriously watched any of these Auburn games, you've gotten your wins. But, you know, Steve said it in a presser the other day, you know, talking about his quarterback. Are you playing quarterback? Are you playing athlete football? And I feel like when you're looking at the three games that Auburn has, they can go out there and play athlete football and win. And maybe that's expecting Jackson to run. Maybe that's there's been some frustrating drives that I've seen mainly from these two wide receivers that you mentioned, just drops that kind of get in between your ears. It's almost like, man, if they would have connected on it, if the chemistry would be completely dialed in, and maybe it comes to fruition week four, but if that happens, this could be a dangerous football team. But when I look at the scores, I feel like they're skewed a little bit just because of some of the mistakes that passing and catching has made this so far this season.
What if they're pulling a Georgia and Gunner and sandbagging,
up.
You know what?
Shut up. You stop it. You stop that. Then run the ball. Just run it. Just turn around and give it to him 150 times, it felt like.
Well, hey, but what is it fair to say, and again, I know you don't respect Michigan at all. I don't really respect them either, to be honest with you. But is it a, you know, perhaps we're looking at Oklahoma, and yes, they're looking, I think they're looking better each week.
Yeah.
But it's probably fair to say, well, hell, they probably have not faced any challenge close to the level that Auburn's bringing to them. So, again, mm-hmm, it goes back to what you were saying. Maybe it's like we pull the Scooby-Doo mask off and it's like, Oklahoma, you're no top 25 team. Is it possible that this will be far and away the Sooners' toughest test and maybe they're not quite ready for it?
I think so, too, because mainly the spotlight's on them, you know. I don't think the spotlight was necessarily – well, shit, game day was there, so I guess it was pretty on there. But I don't know. They're embracing it, and I like that. You know, it's nice seeing media personalities like Eddie out here just having fun again, you know, not doom and gloom and sad all the time. They're doing that because they feel like they're back. They feel like they've actually got a good product to put on the football field. And say what you want, John Mateer's at the top of a lot of these Heisman lists. So, yeah, I feel kind of like they want to get last year – out of the, like, that didn't happen, you know, like Men in Black just hit that thing, you know. Yeah, you didn't see anything. Remember all those national championships and Heisman candidates we had? I feel like that's the case. So now this is a program, a storied program, that I'm telling you right now, Auburn fans, Oklahoma ain't scared of you, not one damn bit. They think that you got one of their quarterbacks out of the bin, and now you're going to try to come up here and win. That's how Oklahoma feels about this game, Mike.
All right. Hey, last thing, because we got some others to hit on. What's your confidence level that Auburn, Oklahoma is the best game of the weekend in the SEC? What would be your confidence level? One out of 10.
Best game? I would say 7. I would say 7 right now. This is definitely the one I think would, if I had to pick one, this would be the game of the week for me.
I think that's fair. You know what I also think is fair, Shane?
What's that?
Shouting out Mazefku.
FKU.
Wait, where are you getting that, though?
The last. The
well, I
last,
get the last, but.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. Me-Z. Oh, M-I-Z? No. I don't know. It's clever.
It
maybe,
is.
Maybe it was. Maybe the other one was taken up, you know?
I think it's too clever
oh,
for,
wait,
for me.
Oh, wait. M-I-E-Y-E-Z-F-E-F-K-U. Got it.
Okay. Nailed it. Well, like I gifted Crayons. Crayons,
welcome to the family. Felt like a Sudoku there. Or them word games you see on the newspaper, you know?
Yeah, you could tell we were not, you know.
Roads.
All right, how about this one, Shane? I'm fired up, too. I'm hoping this game, you know, this is a game that I had my eye on all offseason.
Uh-huh.
I hope the luster's not completely off. South Carolina coming off a tough loss, Shane, at Missouri. Missouri. Let's see. This line keeps damn changing, but it opened around 7. It went up to 13. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at it right now, Shane. It's down to 10. So this thing's all over. So that tells me, again, I said this with Steven, but I think they thought Sellers was out. Now that it's down to 10, maybe they think he's back in. But I wanted to give the latest, Shane.
Yep.
Latest. It's a quick clip. Shane Beamer on Sellers.
Shane, is there any kind of update on Lenoris or any other injuries?
No, we have an injury report for an SEC game that we release on Wednesday nights.
So I guess it is an injury report, despite what old Kiffin will tell you. You know what?
Oh, man, that's going around, huh? The old Kiffin report's what it's going to be called when it's said and done.
Yeah, so, hey, let's go to the other side. So Drake was asked about it. Hey, who do you think's going to play? You know, injury report. This is, and look at his face, particularly at the end when he's talking about Kiffin. I just thought that was kind of the best part of
questions.
It.
Questions.
Eli? Coach, with the quarterback situation, seems like as of right now, some uncertainty around Lenoris Sellers. Just how are you prepping for what you might or might not see at quarterback for them?
I anticipate Lenoris to play.
Over here to Gabe.
Along those lines, Eli, I think last year was the first year of the injury report or the availability reports.
Is it an availability report or an injury report based on last week?
Yeah. What I'm asking is that working and are those a thing you guys pay attention to during the week?
I'm not going to step into Wayne's business here, so I'm not going in there.
All right, Shane. So, again, I just thought that was pretty good. But, it's kind of unclear who's going to be starting for quarterback. But I love this series, Shane. It's been real back and forth. It's been a fun one.
Yeah.
South Carolina won it last year. Missouri won the previous 5. South Carolina won the 3 before it. Back and forth. Last year, that was one of the best damn games in the entire SEC season.
Oh, yeah.
And this one feels, I mean, Missouri's cooking, South Carolina's fading, but that could be flipped on its damn head if South Carolina comes in here as the wounded team with its back against the wall. Meanwhile, you got Missouri thinking, you know, they're going to just whoop their ass. This is a tricky spot, I feel like, for Mizzou.
Yeah, and, you know, it is kind of weird because Beamer went on to also say that if he doesn't practice Tuesday or Wednesday, he will not play. Like, it's he goes, I don't care who you are. So I take that for what it's worth. You know, I think if Lenoris is ready to go Friday, shit, if Lenoris is ready to go pregame, I think you're starting him. But I just thought that was another interesting comment that came out of Columbia there. But, yeah, I feel like the pressure Mike, is on South Carolina. As much as I'd like to give it to Mizzou here, I feel like you got a little bit of house money, and you lose a little bit of the respect that you have gained over the last 3 weeks if you drop one to South Carolina. But man, they're damaged, right? You know what I'm saying? Like I sense it. Shane Beamer, when he's talking, like, you know, he started out last week talking about Amazon boxes and a carpet and shit like that. Ain't no, right. We talking football now, Mike. You know, sometimes I think we get a little too lax, and they thought they were just going to go in there and beat the shit out of Vanderbilt. When that didn't happen, it's like, hey, we got to get back. And I feel like you're going to see a rejuvenated South Carolina football team this week.
Right, because I think the season is on the line for Carolina, yeah. Potentially. Now, they can still make the playoff.
Yeah.
If with a loss, it'd be very difficult, but because they would have to run through at LSU, Oklahoma, Bama, at Ole Miss, at Clemson, you know what I mean? But again, if very unlikely that you're going to do all that if you can't beat Vanderbilt and Missouri back-to-back weeks. So a lot on the line here. I just keep going over that. And let's go back. I got one last clip from Beamer. Mm-hmm. You know, goes back to what you were referencing with just – you know, it ain't Amazon packages this week for old Beamer. He was asked about Sellers and, you know, do they need to run him more? And he went down the damn conspiracy rabbit hole.
We're good. I don't know what conspiracy theories are out there, but I've never said, and no one in this building has ever said, we need to run the quarterback less. Like, I hear all this crap about they're not running the quarterback enough. We're calling the same goddamn plays we called last year, guys. And we're not saying we need to run Lenoris less. I'm not getting on you, Jack. I know there's like this conspiracy theory going back to the bowl game that we see it don't run Lenoris as much. We're running Lenoris plenty. And some of those are reads where Lenoris can hand it or pull it and keep it. Some of those are RPOs where he can run it or throw it. And there's some of those are called design runs that he runs. And I would say every week we want to do what we need to do to win the football game. We ran him the other night. We ran him against Virginia Tech. We ran him against South Carolina and sometimes or South Carolina State. And teams aren't dumb either. In our mind last week, we wanted to get the ball out of the Vanderbilt quarterback's hands on some of those zone reads. And these teams we play, they have good coaches, and a lot of them are going to say, don't let 16 carry the ball, because we've seen what happens when he carries the ball too. So we're doing what we got to do to win football games each week. And if that means running Lenoris, then we're going to run Lenoris.
And then you add all on top of this, Shane, now the Virginia Tech job's open.
Yeah.
Beamer's already getting asked about that seemingly every day. So again, I think he's got a better job than that one. So I don't know why he'd go there, but this should just throw that on top of all this. And now he's getting defensive about, you know, are we not running the quarterback enough? And now your quarterback's injured.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't win, right? Because you can't protect him. You got to run him. I mean, it's a pretty wild situation. But, man, I think this is going to be a big game. And I, again, the spread's jumping all over the place. I don't think anyone knows exactly how this one's going to break down.
No, I think somebody's about to break in, it sounds like. But, Mike, I think also, you know, with Lenoris, it's important not to ask too much. I feel like a lot of times that's what we want to do, right? We want to see the Heisman winner. We want to see a Heisman candidate and come out here, play Superman like he did against Clemson. But, you know, I think ultimately the problem is just having a little balance. You know, he talks about getting this running game going. I feel like that's important. The only person that should be running is Sol. Hell, we've been afraid he wasn't going to hit the field, and now he's there. It's like, where is he? So I feel like we got to get this running game, rushing attack going, and then that's going to open up avenues for Lenoris, because they're all watching him. But if they've got their hands full with that running game, then they can't keep an eye on him as much. And I feel like that's where you're going to find your balance. You're going to find your competitive edge, if you will, in this football game.
Yeah. Do you think South Carolina could – they've been scoring a lot on special teams. Could something like that be a difference in a tight ball game where maybe they score on punt return or kick return or block a kick, or they've been known to fake punts and things of that nature? Could you see something like that and perhaps being the difference in this game?
I tell you right now, South Carolina's got the most dangerous – special teams in the country. And I don't think it should be a factor, because I think you should factor them out. And what I mean by that is, you're going to be punting out of bounds. You're going to be kicking, you know, squib kicks or you know, those little high pooches that they do about 35 yard line. I like, that's what you're probably going to do so that Nick doesn't get the football or one of those guys back there. Special teams, it shouldn't come down to special teams, especially when you're playing Beamer, because you know that's such a factor. But I think ultimately it's going to be about who can stop the run or slow the run and who can make the least amount of mistakes. Because, you know, I feel like at the end of the day, these are two teams that love to capitalize on mistakes. And you do that, then I think you can win the game.
Yeah, and you know, we've gotten this far into a Missouri-South Carolina discussion. We haven't mentioned Ahmad Hart. He's number two in the country in rushing. Yeah. We got Bo Prabula. He's number one in the SEC in completion percentage. I don't know that there's a right answer here, Shane, but how the hell do you stop Missouri? Would you do you force Bo to beat you? Do you focus your attention on the running game? And I don't know. I don't know if there is a right answer. And it's not just these two. They got all weapons, Kevin Coleman and
I know
Manning and North Fleet and on and on and on. I'm fearful for South Carolina's defense in this matchup.
Yeah, I mean, you got a football team that's averaging over 50 points a game, you know? So, and I don't think South Carolina's quite faced an offense like that yet, you know? So, you know, as frustrating as that performance was on defense last week, you're like, okay, let's ramp that by 10, and we got more than just two guys to keep an eye on here. So, yeah, no, South Carolina's got their hands full, and I feel like, that should be the mission for them, is creating chaos, you know, getting in that backfield, being tenacious like they were last year. And you know, I think about that Oklahoma matchup they were in. They took the crowd right out of this thing, right? They ended the ball game before the first quarter was over. You know, that's the ability that this style defense has the ability to do. I mean, they got some absolute studs over there, but if they can't limit possessions, if they can't slow Mizzou's rushing attack, good God, hang on and just pray you don't get blown out of this damn thing.
But again, I keep going back to this. I get it. On paper, Mizzou should probably destroy this team, right?
Yeah.
But Mizzou hasn't faced an SEC team.
Mm-hmm.
They're cocky. They're confident. Then you got this little old Carolina, Shane. Ain't won nothing. They can't win nothing. And then this is a team when they get angry, when they got their back against the wall, when they're counted out, it's when they play their best. So I don't know. I think this is going to be a damn dogfight up there in Columbia this weekend.
All right. I'm going to change my number. I'm going to give the Auburn game 6, Auburn, Oklahoma game 6, and then I'll say this one will be at the 5. I'm going on out of the 10, I'll give 6 to Oklahoma, and I'll give this one 4. Yeah, that's what I'll do. The other ones I don't.
So you're 40% confident, I guess, that this could be the best game?
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now. And it may change when we talk about Florida and Miami.
That's right where I wanted to go next, Shane. Come on, Dan. Florida fighting for their lives. I told it to Steven, and I was kind of laughing when I said it, Shane. Mm-hmm. But this damn team is about 4 plays away from being undefeated. Oh, and we're God. Sitting here saying they're top 10. They're legit. Hell, they're overcoming DJ's mistakes, and they're beating these quality teams. I don't got any damn respect for Miami and Carson Beck, Shane. They ran his ass off at Georgia. They're better off for it. So is he the savior of our team that plays at a Hard Rock Stadium? I ain't buying that bullshit, Shane. The only thing I buy at Hard Rock is a cheeseburger. You know what I mean? So no respect for the Hurricanes. I'm not sitting here saying I got a ton of respect for Florida, but I think they're going to give them a lot better fight. This is a heated rivalry. This is one the Gators want. And I think you can turn the season around by beating a team that you're just as good at. I don't care what the rankings say.
And I don't know if you included any of Billy's pressure here, but I can summarize it in 4 words. This is basically what he says. Mike, give me that camera. We are this close. That's what he's saying. He says, we are this close, Mike. If like he said, a couple of plays, we're about to be explosive. DJ's about to get this thing figured out. We're right there. Just be patient with me. That's what they're saying. And they've been saying that for a while, Mike. And I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, but how big would a win on the road against Miami be for Coach here? We talked about hot seat, but let's flip it. Let's say they go down there and they don't have five interceptions.
Yeah.
What do you think happens to, I guess, Billy Napier moving forward?
Give him an extension. Come on. I get Texas is looking beatable, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying they're going to beat Texas, but it wouldn't stun me if the way they're playing football.
Mm-hmm.
I think the belief starts to set in. And hell, I think belief's already there. They didn't quit on his ass last year after getting destroyed by Miami.
Yeah.
After losing to A&M, which was trying to find its identity on both sides of the football under Coach Elko. They blew us out. You know, if they didn't quit then, and then losing Graham Mertz for the season, I don't think they're going to quit on this guy. I really don't. I am buying Billy's bullshit. You know what I mean? I think they are this close. I think they're right there. They got to run the football. They got to limit these mistakes. Yes, they should be underdogs, but I think this is a coin toss game. I really do. Because, again, the SEC's been winning all these damn games this year. So I think Florida goes down to Miami and gives them one hell of a fight. And the longer I go into the week, Shane, I've been asking you this question for a very reason. I think this is the best game of the week. Miami hosting Florida. I think it's not the game I'm really like the most excited about. That's Auburn, Oklahoma, because that'll be damn crazy.
Yeah.
And I do love this South Carolina, Missouri. I don't care what the point spread says. I think that'll be a good game. But I think there's a reasonable chance, like a 7 out of 10 chance.
Mm-hmm.
That Florida-Miami is the best game of the weekend among these games.
If it were the best game, they'd have game day down there, Mike. They do have game day down there, don't they? You may be right. You may be right, brother. It just feels like – it doesn't feel like this is going to be a game. And what I mean by that, Mike, is – whoever wins, I feel like wins by multiple scores. Similar to the Miami-Florida matchup we saw last year, I feel like this one could get ugly quick. And, I mean, that still could be a good thing for the Florida Gators because it could be them. If DJ figures out how to throw the football more than 20 yards down the football field, you know, if the defense keeps playing like they are, because say what you want. I mean, that LSU game, they gave up, what, 13 points? I mean, that's a
10.
Was really? It 10? It was
a pick six, and then another pick would basically put them in field goal range.
So I'm just saying, the defense has got it. I feel like the defense is there. They're keeping them all in these games, but
yeah.
We got to get some offense. And if that clicks on the road against Miami, brother, maybe I was wrong about them Gators.
Yeah, and the only thing I would disagree with you there.
Yeah.
I don't think Billy Napier is capable of blowing anyone out. I mean, that's just like not his DNA. You know, he's like, I got to win by three or I'm not winning. You know what I mean? So he wants to shorten the game. Well, not this year, but every other year he wants to shorten the game. He wants to run the football. This year, the plan is to throw it 50 times, even though our quarterback's throwing to the opponent more often than not. But, I think this will be a slobber knocker. I really do. And Florida knows their backs are against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I sound crazy because I know you're all about LSU, but they had them. They had them last week. They really did.
Yeah.
And they let it slip through their fingers. And I think LSU is better than Miami. So
yeah.
That's given me confidence that Florida can beat Miami.
So what were the Miami games? So is Notre Dame, who else did they have? I'm trying to
I got it remember. Right here.
Yeah.
Miami beat Notre Dame in the opener.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Bethune, whoever the hell that is.
Okay.
And then last year, okay, this is going to go against everything we've said. They smoked South Florida 49-12, which beat Florida. But, hey, all that's going to do, Shane, is give Miami this confidence that they don't deserve, that they don't belong on the field. You know what?
Well, Florida should have won 29-12. So maybe it is a football game, Mike. Maybe it is.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I should not have looked that score up, but I've lost all confidence. You know what?
Yeah, 29-12. I remember. Yes. Carson Beck, I mean, you forget him, you know? Hell, I done forgot about him until I was watching that game last week. So, I feel like this. Golly, we just can't lose to Miami 2 years in a row. You know, fire him on the spot. If you lose to Miami, and I get it, they're a ranked opponent, and they're supposed to win this football game. But I feel like you find your money. Ain't there a bye week after this one too? After
there is for Florida. Yeah,
a bye out week. That's what we call it. That's what happens. You lose to Miami.
No.
Yeah. That's adios. See ya. Deuces.
You want to make a bet? Because I know the way they run it down there.
Oh, shit. I didn't know you were the inside scooper there. So you're saying if they lose to Miami, they don't fire Billy?
Yeah, I guarantee you they don't.
Okay. What do you want to make the bet for?
Just whatever you want, because I know I'm going to win.
Is there something Miami related? think about it, Cousins. Give me something. Non-hair related.
Hey, speaking of non-hair related.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that transition. Tulane at Ole Miss. Hey, this is everyone's favorite coaching candidate here, John Summerall. Now, man, Tulane is a solid program. They don't have any athletes that could probably even play at Ole Miss. So I'm not convinced this is going to be like that. I didn't realize there was a strong history here either, Shane.
Yeah.
But the point spread is only Ole Miss 11.5, which they should be favored by a lot, but I think that's out of respect to John Summerall. I also think it's a little bit out of respect that we don't know exactly who Ole Miss is going to run out there at quarterback. But here's Lane Kiffin, Shane. Are you buying it? I don't know. I could tell you I don't think Drake is buying this bullshit.
And we asked you last night about Austin, and you hadn't talked to him yet. Have you talked to him, and I guess, how's he doing?
Yeah, he's doing good. I would anticipate Austin being fine to play and being our starting quarterback.
All right, did you see did you pick that up, Shane? He said, I anticipate.
Uh-huh.
So if he doesn't, he'd be like, oh, I anticipated wrong. You know, he's just going to play these damn word games because he's a damn troll down there. But, the game I watched, Austin Simmons came in there. He was a trooper. He threw a touchdown. He ran the ball. But it looked like he could barely walk. So I do not anticipate him playing. I anticipate Kiffin just lied to us. But what's your thoughts?
Oh, Mace, I anticipate Shane sticking to a diet. a lot of cousins said dress like a pelican or spray tan. I'm not doing any of that crazy stuff. But maybe we dress up like a Miami Vice or something, you know, gold chain and chest hair out, you know, like they did back in the day. So I anticipate this is classic Lane Kiffin, right? This is exactly what we expect. I honestly, deep down inside, Mike, feel like any quarterback, even the third, the fourth, doesn't matter. We don't even have to have a quarterback on this football field, I think, could beat Tulane. Now, they're going to have to play tough because Tulane's not a pushover, right? But athlete to athlete, Ole Miss is superior. And if I think you really got to ask your question. The real question for me, Mike, is, who's the better quarterback? You know, a banged up Austin right now, or Trinidad? You know what I'm saying? It's like, I think you got to play the hot hand right now. And yeah. I know it feels crazy, but you know that old saying, you can't lose a job to an injury. But I don't know, man. If Trinidad keeps throwing out 350 yards, I think you just roll with it.
Yeah, and I think you nailed it there. I mean, they should be able to win the game with either.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then I think you almost have to go with Trinidad.
Yeah.
Because I think what you really want, I don't think Austin Simmons should lose his job, even though he was, you know, he's been having a lot of turnovers. Mm-hmm. But I think you give him another week because of how critical that LSU game is.
Yeah.
And you want both of the guys as healthy as possible, so that you can go back to Austin Simmons. Or heck, what if Trinidad throws for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns against Tulane. Then then that goes exactly to what you just said. I mean, how could you sit the guy after that? So you ride the hot hand. But considering this is not a conference game, I think you almost got to go with Trinidad. And that's probably why Kiffin says Simmons is going to start, just to just to muddy the waters as much as possible. You know what?
Probably. And you know, I think about last year, because we're a quarter of the way in right now. It's moving fast, guys. But I feel like when we get to the end of the season, there's going to be a lot of SEC teams that have had to go to the bench and get their second string out there. You know, we've seen it now with Ole Miss. We're seeing it with South Carolina. You know, you run around. Reed got hit, banged up. You know, I think it's important to have not a noticeable drop-off if QB2 comes in. So these are valuable reps, man. Even if you do go back to Austin, I feel like if something happens in the LSU game, if something happens in the Georgia game, you know, we'll be able to go to the bench just like we did last year and come out here and put a quarterback and not miss a beat. So I can't see how you're upset if you're an Ole Miss fan right now. Two good quarterbacks, I'll take it.
Right, and hey, you just made me think of something. LSU's defense playing so well.
Yeah.
Why not force them to prepare for both quarterbacks?
Just saying.
You know what I mean?
Just saying.
I think that helps Ole Miss.
Lane Kiffin, you sneaky bastard.
Just like Augustus Palmer helps us, Shane. He gifted a membership to King Ween. King Ween.
Welcome to the family. Augustus gifted king. That's awesome. I love it.
They should join forces. You know what?
Yeah. He knighted the cuz. Appreciate you.
How about this one, Shane? Arkansas at Memphis. And again, title of the show, Hot Seat Weekend. I don't think Arkansas is going down, but if they do, buddy. Now, this could... I don't want to bet you this one, because I think moves could be made if we lose this damn game. So, this is critical. Again, the point spread opened at 4.5. It has moved slightly. Arkansas currently listed as a 7.5-point favorite. But again, I think that shows you the respect for Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you saw this, Shane. Probably should have played this clip too. But a Memphis coach out here trolling Georgia and all their speeding violations. So
yeah, I saw that.
I thought that was pretty funny. But again, he's a respected coach. He runs a respected program. Memphis on the season, Shane, they are 3-0.
Ooh.
Now, they haven't beaten anybody. Chattanooga, Georgia State, and Troy. But again, this is a tricky spot here, because Arkansas's defense, I have to imagine, is going to give up some points to damn Memphis here. Any thoughts on Arkansas going on the road, which again, that'll make it like damn Memphis Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Hosting an SEC team, tricky spot here for the Razorbacks a little bit.
There couldn't be more of an ultimate trap game than this one right here. You know, and I say trap game. Yeah, it's just a touchdown favorite, but it's a game that you should win. But coming off that Ole Miss, looking at Notre Dame, There is a lot riding on this game right here. Sam coming. I mean, hell, your AD's out here and Little Rock saying all this shit. It's like, come on, man. You know, how can you take a step forward if you drop to Memphis or even keep this one close? I would love to see just an Arkansas ass whooping right here. And I feel like that's what this fan base needs, these boosters need. And Sam, golly, Sam needs it right now. Because if Arkansas wins, nothing happens, right? Like, if you win by 10, we're not talking about it. You win by 20, 30, potentially we're talking about it. But you lose to Memphis, they're dragging your ass through the mud.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, these fans are – I couldn't believe it, Shane. Now, maybe we should have expected it. But after losing the Ole Miss game
– yeah.
It seemed like they were all or going into the Memphis or the Ole Miss game. It seemed like they were all aboard and then all out, you know, like same old, we'll never do this, never do that. And I was watching the game like, well, shit, if a guy doesn't fumble, you're probably going to win. But yeah. I get it. It happens 10 times. That's probably going to be your reaction. But I don't know. I thought they were so close to winning that damn game. And now they got a lot of work to do to just win the fan base back.
Yeah.
Right? And hell, even if they, let's say they whoop Memphis ass, which they probably should, I don't think there's going to be a single Razorback being like, hell yeah, he's got me back. You know, they're going to be like, yeah, shit, that's what you're supposed to do, you know?
When's basketball start, you know?
So this better not be one of the better games, but it is nationally televised, so that's kind of interesting, you know what?
It is. A lot of people watching it, and I mean, hell, we wanted an early game. And, in fact, you use this could be your opportunity. A lot of people are going to be watching this football game, and you come out here and you look good. We're not thinking about the loss you had last week. We're thinking about, man, can this team beat Notre Dame just like A&M did?
Yep. Well, hey, you know, another one. I was kind of kidding, but not really. Texas A&M Houston. Again, this should not be a ball game, but what are you looking to see, particularly from the offense and Arch Manning? We've got to show some signs here because we're getting into conference play after this.
Yeah. You want to get us talking heads off of you. Then come out here and throw some damn touchdowns, you know? This, like, put the fan base at rest. Let's stop the panicking. You know, whatever the mistakes are, clearly, Mike, they could be cleaned up. You know, if I watched the UTEP game again, and boy, it was a tough watch, but you see there were opportunities out there, and for some reason we're not connecting on those. So learn off of it. I would imagine that the Manning and his brothers and uncles and the whole damn crew has spent plenty of time here in the film room. You know, I think that's what this is. Just clean up the dumb mistakes and then do what Texas does. And that's when, I mean, you kill Sam Houston, right? You got to.
Well, we've been saying that for
weeks.
San Jose, UTEP, you know?
I know. But you feel like, hey, this is the week, you know?
Well, here's the bright side. I think Texas will shut them out. So,
yeah,
you get a field goal, I think you're going to win this game. You know? But truly, even if he comes out here and he's got 5 touchdowns, no interceptions.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but I think people are going to be like, well, shit, Sam Houston, who cares, you know?
Right.
I think there's already blood in the water, and that's a tricky spot going into Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you think Napier will be fired by then. But who knows? You know what I mean?
Yeah, Napier will be gone by then. So if he loses. Now, if he wins, he'll be extended.
How about Tennessee UAB, Shade? I don't know how much research you've done on UAB, but check this out. They are 135th in the country in pass defense efficiency. So that sounds good. And they're 107th in rush defense efficiency. So it sounds like Tennessee could pick their damn score against old UAB.
I think that's what we got to do, you know, just go back, do what we do, you know. Joe Webb ain't over there. Go over here, win this damn football game, and get some young kids in here. Get some I feel like, again, you're going to need them at the end of this season. If you're talking playoffs, if you're talking where I think Tennessee can go, you're gonna need some competitive depth, and this is a great game to get that in.
Yeah, it's pretty bad when you're talking about the competitive depth heading into a game. But
yeah,
I get it. Coming off the Georgia one,
yeah.
How about this defense, though? I need to see something from this defense, which is getting smoked left and right. And I know they're down, guys, but hell, you're about to face Mississippi State. Shane, last I checked, Mississippi State's got a hell of an offense.
Yeah.
You can't afford to, not get this corrected, because Mississippi State will beat you if you're not careful.
You know what you'd also do is every time you get within 30 yards, you just let the kicker come out and do it, you know? Like, first down, don't matter. This is just for you, Gilbert.
Schmidt says, enjoy your last win, so...
Oh, you son of a!
That's what I'm saying. Mississippi State's confident going into this game. They're going to have a better record than Tennessee.
We ain't looking ahead. I'll tell you that. Looking ahead. We're one game at a time. 1-0, Mike, as they say.
Well, you know who's going to be 1-0?
Who?
Mississippi State, because they're playing NIU, Shade. So again, anything you'll be looking for from the Fighting Spins down here is they try to get to 4-0. I can't believe it, Shade. So if they win, they'll already be over the over-under win total in the first month of the season. This is like the dream scenario for Mississippi State to cruise to 4-0. This is the path we predicted to get them to a bowl. Now, there can't be a letdown here.
Right.
because we're cruising to 3-0. And they beat Notre Dame last year for whatever that's worth. But a trap game?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so. And I don't think you really, I don't think you're quite looking ahead here either. This is a game that you want to get another 60 year. You know, I'm not saying that you're going to, but build that momentum going into that Tennessee game because you need your fans at these Tennessee games because last year you didn't have them. I mean, I remember watching that Mississippi State Florida game. I think it was last year, right? And it was just like, I mean, there was 20, it felt like 20% of the people were there. I mean, it was almost sad to ring cowbells, you know? But now you build that environment that you had against Arizona State. You keep that environment, you smoke NIU. You lose a little bit of that luster. And the time, is the time on this one yet? Have they announced the time on that Mississippi State for the Mississippi State game?
NIU?
No, I'm sorry. For the one next week with Tennessee. I'm already looking ahead.
I think it's the 3:30, I believe.
Okay, yeah. It's just you got an opportunity for a marquee game. I mean, we've not had marquee games in a while. So the main thing is, Mike, just don't trip out of the gate. Let's shape and beat himself. But, you know, get him out there as soon as possible. This is one of those that you'd like to be up 20, 30 points, and we can kind of get him off the football field.
Yeah, Tennessee, Mississippi State's 4:15 Eastern, 3:15 Central.
Okay.
So the Vols avoided a night game at least.
Yeah. I'm surprised we didn't have it on Sunday, you know, so Sven could watch.
How about Georgia State Vanderbilt, Shane? Heck, we lost to Georgia State last year. This is a completely different Vanderbilt team. Revenge game, night game. Theo Vaughn on the sideline. I mean, Vanderbilt's cool for the first time maybe ever. You know what?
Yeah, let's keep it rolling, right? I Pavia, I think, is going to get another year after this. I think he's I think he's squatting down there in Nashville. But, yeah, the momentum, man, you talk about it. You've got an absolutely electric football team right now, and it's fun. Vanderbilt's fun again. So let's keep rolling with it. Don't drop this one because you did it last year, and I feel like that's I don't think that gets past this football team. It's easy to you get us once, fine, but you better believe this damn team will be locked in for Georgia State this year.
You know what you just screwed up there, Shane?
Nah.
You said Vanderbilt's fun again.
Yeah.
I don't think they've ever been fun before. I mean, literally. Well, this is like first time that I can – I mean, Jay Cutler was
– the anchor down thing, the movement for Franklin got the hell out of there. That they had a little buzz there.
They did, but I don't think they were fun.
I don't know, man. I was on the receiving end of that fun time. So, I mean, we lost a streak because of that fun time. So,
yeah, but I think it'd be great for them to do it. I mean, again, you got these are the ones – again, all the goodwill you've gotten,
yeah,
right out the damn window. You know, this is Vanderbilt old.
Yeah.
And it was really just last year. Losing to Georgia State, just your SEC. You know, you never, never, never should you be losing these damn games.
Right.
Same deal for Utah State. How'd they get two conference games? I'll never know. But, I mean, we cruised to 5-0 going into this Bama game with a better record than the Crimson Tide. I know last year beating Bama, that was like the biggest thing ever happened to us. But could you imagine fast forwarding a year later saying they're going to enter this game with a better record than Alabama? And hell, Alabama could have two losses by this time.
Yeah.
Because they're facing Georgia here in 2 weeks. It's just wild how Vanderbilt has changed.
Yeah, it really is. But this is what I wanted. I know it sounds crazy. You said diehard Tennessee fan and you want Vanderbilt. No, I don't want a cupcake in this conference. That's what I said. As much as I love cupcakes, Mike, they do not belong in the Southeastern Conference. And I felt like that's what Vanderbilt has been for majority of my life. And now you're taking football serious. You got the money coming in from Disney. There's no excuses. There's no excuses why Vanderbilt can't compete. They're building on the stadium looks really, really nice. So let's just keep rolling, man. Let's make every Saturday fun.
There's any cupcakes in the SEC, they belong in your cabinet.
Absolutely. Abso-freaking-lutely.
All right, last game here, Shane. It shouldn't be a game at all. LSU, Southeast Louisiana. Anything you'll be looking for from the Tigers Kelly says Garrett Nussmeier's dealing. He's got a new injury with his torso. I wouldn't even play this damn guy. We got Michael Van Buren last I checked. Although I think he's a little banged up himself, but hell, shouldn't need any of them for this team. Anything you're looking for from LSU here?
Yeah, they should do exactly what Lane Kiffin's about to do. You know, make it interesting. I saw Kelly apologize to a reporter. You know, so I think I'd double down and ask, you know, what's up with this offense? You know, let's put that one to bed. Come out here, be explosive, has some explosive plays. I would love to get these receivers going, Mike. And I know this is a shit team that you have to Google where it's at, but this is a perfect opportunity to get some of those boys you're paying a lot of money out there to have some fun and convince the fans that last week was a fluke.
Right. All right, buddy, that's all I got. You got anything else before we hop off the line?
Yeah, don't forget, tomorrow morning, SEC Hangover with Cousin Shane. We're going to have a little fun, grab some coffee. We're going to get this hangover over with, and it's Wednesday. We'll be a day closer, so I look forward to seeing everybody there. Have those notifications on 7:30 Eastern time.
And it sounds like we'll be doing a mailbag tomorrow. How's that
Jackpot.
Sound?
Jackpot, my favorite. Loaded up with food questions.
All right, so morning show, Stephen making his predictions at 2 o'clock Eastern, 1 Central, and then we'll be back for the mailbag tomorrow night, 7 Eastern, 6 Central. Buddy, we're just throwing them all the SEC content they can handle. You know what?
Green Wave says, don't end the show yet. Oh, what's going on here? Did JP got his... shout outs. I didn't see JP with the shout. JP's working. He's working on it. Hey, I will say, let me ask you this while we're waiting, Mike. Storyline, I know I don't want to get too far ahead of it, but.
Yeah, what the hell?
I know, but leading up to Saturday, what do you think, like, the ultimate storyline would be? Like, what are you, I guess, looking forward to most? We talk about separation. We talk about these teams kind of pulling away from the pack. Is there something in particular you're looking at this weekend? Because it is a bad slate of games. I don't want to say bad slate. I would take these in. I mean, think about it. If it were February, you would kill for these games. But is there something in some of these cupcake games that you're looking at that maybe gives you a better feeling about the future of that program?
No, but that's why I went with the headline I went, Shane. This is the narrative that I don't think people are talking about. I think it's hot seat weekend.
I got you.
And it doesn't mean people are going to get fired on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know even you think Napier. But I don't think any of these coaches, short of maybe Sam Pittman.
Yeah.
Which I don't even know if his seat is that hot today. No. It'll be damn scorching hot if he loses to Memphis. But I think that's the narrative, is jobs will be lost, not immediately, but eventually come Saturday.
Yeah.
I really do think, and I'm looking at several of these games, and you know, if you want to talk about the cupcake ones, hell, even them. I mean, this is how you lose your fan base. You lose to Sam Houston or NIL or Georgia State or UAB or – the one coach that may get fired after this, it might be UAB's coach, Trent Dilfer. That guy's an idiot. You know what?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know he's not an idiot, JP, doing all that work. And I appreciate you, cuz. Today's shout-outs go to Cousin JR, Steven Up, Michael Dunlap, Austin Wayne, L Jr., B-Dad, M-I-Z-F-K-U, and Dennis Mara. Matthew Lou, Sav, Augustus Palmer, and Junior was on there earlier. I remember that one. So I appreciate all the cousins, and I appreciate, Rolls Royce coming in at the end. Thank you, cuz, with a $50 donation. Thank you, JP. Thank you, JR, and thank you, Stephen Up. Y'all contribute to this great podcast, and I hope I'll be like you one day. Oh, Rolls Royce, you're already near and dear to my heart.
LSU's making the playoff. You know what? I just decided right now.
You just decided.
They got the defense. All right, hey, let me ask you this, because fans are fighting on this.
Yeah.
And I love fighting fans. I mean, that's basically the whole point of this show, right?
Yeah.
This is for Royce. LSU, Texas, or Oklahoma? Who's got the best defense in the SEC right now?
LSU, Texas, or Oklahoma.
I think those are the only options, right?
Yeah. Oh, shit. I'm probably going to go with Texas right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Ohio State game for me. LSU, I go back and forth. I can't give Florida credit, you know, but I do give Clemson a little bit, but not really. So, yeah, I would say
I think I'm liking LSU as long as their linebackers are not targeting and getting expelled from the game. But, again, I got respect for Florida. You may not. They won them that damn game with the five picks.
Yeah.
They won them the Clemson game, which I don't think Clemson's that good. But they just suffocated their ass. And I think what happened, Shane, is they kind of eroded the confidence of Clemson. And now Clemson's in the damn toilet thanks to – and remember, all offseason, LSU don't got a defense. You know what I mean? And now they're like, oh, my Lord. We're splitting hairs here.
Well, part of me, too, is I think about the inefficiencies that Texas has had on third downs. You know who hates third down losses? Defense, because they got to get their helmet and get back out there. So,
yeah, there's no wrong answer. Could be Texas. Yeah. Hell, Oklahoma's got the defensive line.
Hell, yeah.
Great. Yeah, I don't know. Well, that's something we can debate next week. You know what?
Absolutely. Well, all right, Mike. I'm going to get off here. Appreciate all the cousins. And thank you, Rolls Royce, with that donation there at the end. Thank you, Stringer, as well. Appreciate you all. We will see you tomorrow, 7:30.
Absolutely. We'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.